The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
No TV or stage. 1977, kids.
You don't have to be a star, baby.
You do not have to be a star to be on this show. You can call me from whatever walk of life, but I tell you, you got to be a star talk show host to hang out with me at 7:35, and not just any host. No.
We scraped the bottom of the barrel, baby.
We have busted.
We have lowered the bar.
Well, we can raise the bar for the great singing talents. That is Marilyn McCoo and Billy
Love
Davis Jr., who've been married since 69 and still are. And Marilyn McCoo is, let me check, she is 79 today. And that was a great record from 1977. The Fifth Dimension was awesome.
Right.
And her vocal on One Less Bell to Answer last night, didn't get to sleep at all.
One Less Bell is so cool.
Incredible.
It's right in my wheelhouse.
There you go, man.
Hey, you know, I always count on you to kind of bring me back to earth. And when I think things are completely off the rails, sometimes you'll say to me, it's not really that bad now. And you push back gently sometime.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if you're pushing back at all or you want to bring me back to earth. As I have now witnessed a president call on a dead congresswoman mm-hmm. at an event,
mm-hmm.
Where's Jackie?
Yep.
And a vice president who said we have a strong alliance with North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Back to back.
Mm-hmm.
If that had happened with Trump and Pence, the news cycle would be completely 24/7.
Yep.
We have complete incompetent leadership. We got two morons who are at the top. That's all we, I mean.
Of course.
They're fixating about January 6th, Jenny Thomas. And listen, I admit a lot of that's peculiar to me. I'm gonna kind of go out on a limb here and say if you're I'm gonna say it's just a little odd that whole thing. We can talk about that if you want just a moment.
Let's do the Jenny Thomas roundtable. Go ahead.
Wow, but before we get to that batch of crazy,
yes,
let's get into a president and a vice president who did arguably two of the most wild-eyed, crazy. Where's Jackie? Died in August, killed in a car crash.
Yep.
And Kamala Harris, she's at the DMZ. She's there.
Yeah.
And is proudly proclaiming our alliance with North Korea.
Yep.
Korea.
Whoops.
I mean, that's not. You're talking about international diplomatic relations, Mark. This is stuff that Stephen Miller said last night that Biden ought to be in a nursing home because we're going to wind up in a nuclear war. We're going to wind up in a war with somebody because this guy's going to push the green button instead of the blue button and because he's trying to order the veal cutlet. What in the heck is going on, Mark? So my question, my original question to you.
I know.
Back to back, Biden, Harris, these two major league gaffes, I guess is a polite way of putting it. Is it as bad to you as it is to me?
Of course it is, and that is what has opened my mind to the possibility of something that seemed like a B-grade movie script a year ago. And I just talked to a guy, and he has a lot of company, who thought the moment Biden took office that it was just a Trojan horse, that the main idea was to get Kamala Harris into the presidency, and they would sideline Biden with the 25th Amendment, find some excuse to do it. That was always a tough sell early on, because like Biden seemed like he had some of his marbles, but no longer does. Now, the problem for the Democrats is that their plan B, Kamala Harris, is simply inept. She is terrible at virtually everything. But this is how bad things are for Democrats, Mike. Their best prospects for 24 and for the nightmare years for them of 23 and 24 after the midterms may be to get her installed as soon as possible, because she would probably be tougher to beat than if she were just coming out of the vice presidency into an open primary field in 24. It is that bad. I wish I could tell you it's not. It is that bad.
I mean, she's a nightmare. And Greg Gutfeld argued yesterday, this is what happens when no one has the guts to stand up. And I'm going to just quote him to a black female vice president and say, you got to do better,
yep,
and you got to work harder, and they're afraid to because they don't want to be called a racist misogynist.
Well, of course, how does Karine Jean-Pierre still have that job? Three words, black woman lesbian. She's unfireable. She's absolutely and I don't say that as criticism of anybody who is black, female, or lesbian. Black female lesbians have to be looking at her going, dude, you're killing us. She's terrible.
And she's awful. She seems dumb as a box of rocks, and she's got that huge binder of notes that she's reading off of. I mean, this is attempt. Now, maybe this isn't her fault. Maybe she's expected to defend Biden calling on the dead woman. Maybe they say, listen.
Well, of course she is.
What can you do?
I know.
I mean, I don't blame her for that, I guess. I mean, I don't. I mean, they blame Spicer for the inauguration crowd.
Of course they did.
So, but they don't blame her. But I mean, I'm just trying to be objective here. Did they say to her, you got to go out there and pretend that the president calling on a woman that he was supposed to, I mean, she was like being honored. He had just written a commemoration, a proclamation, and he was going to meet with her family the next day. Where's Jackie? We got to get a t-shirt that says, where's Jackie?
Oh, but it is already a meme. And the things you say about Kamala Harris are the reasons why, as flawed as she is, she still might be the Democrats' best plan B. And there may be meetings, and I mean November 9th, the morning after, there may be meetings that say, we've got to find a way to get rid of Biden or gently get him to resign so we can get her in there because she will be tougher to beat. Because what you've described is a sad fact of the modern world, that if you criticize a woman of color, you get hit with a double whammy. You're racist and sexist, and they feel they can use that as Teflon to protect her.
Wow. Well, okay. Let's. I watched a monologue with one of the late night comics. One of my Never Trump associates sent me a clip of, and I always get them mixed up. Jimmy Kimmel is the one on ABC.
Yes.
Jimmy Fallon
is the Tonight Show on
NBC. Who's the other guy? Is it Seth Meyers?
No, Stephen Colbert.
No, the other guy, the skinny guy.
Yeah,
Seth Meyers,
Well,
right?
Seth Meyers has the show after Fallon.
Right, okay, so it was Seth Meyers. He's always wearing t-shirts now for some reason. I don't know why they used to wear suits and ties on late night show. I don't watch any of that stuff ever, but my team gives me clips. And he did a long monologue about what he calls the four horsemen of the apocalypse. He's got Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Ginny Thomas, and I forget the fourth one, who are all, of course, in Trump world. And he did a whole thing about Ginny Thomas, and she testified before the January 6th committee.
For those who don't know, Ginny Thomas is the very patriotic, very conservative wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas.
Love her. Love her.
And so I sat next to her at a tea party meeting in Mesquite in 2010. I didn't even know she was going to be there. I said, good Lord, that's Ginny Thomas. It was great. And now she is very fired up, obviously, about the election. Said a lot of things, called a lot of people, I think called Mark Meadows about it. Nothing weird about that. She's a highly placed person with political views. And so people are trying to smear Clarence Thomas with her political passions. Go ahead.
All right, so now it's my turn to push back and bring you back to Earth. Is it not a little odd that the wife of a sitting Supreme Court justice, who arguably could have to decide cases before the court over election integrity, which is a very real issue, and I share her concerns about it. Now, the media, the left, the beast, says she's a full-fledged, full-throated election denier.
She's an insurrectionist, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You're right. They just think she's out there carrying around the torches and all that. But she apparently does believe that the election was stolen and continued to voice that with the January 6th committee. And incidentally, good on her, because she's probably going to say, I think her position is, I'm not going to backpedal now. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to backtrack. I believe this, and I'm not going to say what I said then and then try to change my view. She's a person of conviction.
So what's your point?
Well, no, but
I can help you.
Seth Meyers' joke, and I'm not aligning with him, but he did say, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, maybe if you're the wife of a Supreme Court justice, you don't want to call the chief of staff of the president of the United States and urge him to overturn the election.
The optics are not great.
All right. Enough said.
No. Because this is really important.
Let's leave it there.
No, let's not, because the next 30 to 45 seconds are really important. If someone wants to make the suggestion that Ginny Thomas should have taken her passions and either kept them to herself or kept them on, you know, among friends, or maybe
not call the president's chief of staff in the thick of
it. Okay, what are you going to let her do? Because my overall point is there is not one thing illegal, not one thing even actually wrong about her having every activist drop of blood that she wants, and none of it reflects on her husband's ability to rule objectively about a matter that might come before him.
Well, first of all,
I defend her 1,000%.
No, nobody's saying what she's allowed to do. I didn't say that at all.
Well, a good idea? What would you like to tap? What would you like her to restrain?
We can have an opinion about whether or not it's a good idea for the wife of a Supreme Court justice to call the president's chief of staff and urge him to overturn the election.
Right.
And honestly, if there's any pushback to that, I think you need to check yourself.
Can I push back against one thing? You barred an index card from the left, calling Mark Meadows to have him, quote, overturn the election. Every single one of us, and I'll say this, us who were in deep despair on the days following the election, we weren't looking to overturn anything. We were looking to solidify and ascertain and confirm and achieve an accurate result.
Fair enough.
And so, you know,
fair enough.
So
I don't disagree with that. I mean, we will all go to our graves convinced that there were high shenanigans and all kinds of norms that were upended under the guise of COVID that changed our election process. It's impossible to accept. What's that? What happened? It's impossible to watch with our own eyes and see with our own ears the enthusiasm, the passion, the excitement for Donald Trump, the whole story of him getting COVID and then bouncing back and campaigning and huge, you know, crowds, and Biden can't get 11 people. Sorry. I mean, you can scream at us all day long. We're just never going to change our belief
Correct.
That something bad happened. The problem is, I don't think we're ever going to be able to prove it. And what worries people is, if the same thing happens going forward, are we going to be able to prove it again? Are we going to be stuck in this muck? Are we going to be stuck in this never world of having election shenanigans and never let them see the light of day?
All we can do is try to make it harder for them to cheat and show up in such numbers that their cheating doesn't matter. What you heard there a moment ago was my computer fighting its way to get onto the show. Do we have a minute? Because among the late night shows, Trevor Noah, he took over from Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. There was precisely one show that had a little fun with the Biden "I see dead people" moment. You want to hear it for about a minute?
I do.
Okay, here we go.
In fact, many people are actually saying that Biden might have a really good shot at winning a second term in office. All he needs to do, though, is avoid doing stuff like this.
An awkward moment for President Biden today at a White House conference. While calling out people in the audience, he accidentally included Indiana Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, who was killed in a car crash over the summer.
And I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here to help make this a reality.
No. No, Joe, what are you doing?
Don't wait for it.
Ah, that's so awkward. Oh, man. And his explanation didn't help. You know, he's like, of course I knew Jackie was dead. I was looking for Jackie Kennedy. Where's Jackie Kennedy? Where are you, Jackie? Where's Jackie? Oh.
But wait.
Look, I mean, I guess on the upside, at least he noticed that she wasn't there. This is a good thing. Yeah, it could have been much worse if he was like, where's Jackie? Oh, there she is. There's Jackie. Everyone look at Jackie. You know, there's no Jackie. She's there. Everybody sees Jackie.
Finally.
And look, I know a lot of people are saying that this is another example of Biden's brain being foggy. But I think, if anything, this makes Biden a better president. Yeah. Think of how hard he must be working right now to keep Americans safe, knowing that Osama bin Laden is still out there somewhere.
Trevor Noah. Look at that. One person,
by the way, is stepping down from his show.
Get out. Why?
Oh, you didn't hear?
No.
Big news last night. Big showbiz news. Yeah. He is leaving the show.
I mean, I paid little attention to the Daily Show, but it is an influencing thing. And he, what did he do? He emceed White House Correspondents' Dinner, another thing I pay no attention to. But he seems to be a rarity in that he, I mean, in a Bill Maher semi mold of somebody who has his own politics, but is an equal opportunity satirist. That's all too rare.
A story about getting on a train from back when I was doing Fox News all the time. Uh-huh. I got on a train from Washington to New York, and he was on the in the compartment with me, mm-hmm. and he kept looking at me, and he kept staring at me, and he kept doing because he probably watches Fox News as he all of us do. We're watching all the cable news networks, mm-hmm. and I know that he recognized me from TV, but he couldn't quite place it, and he was trying to figure it out. And I was so tempted to just say hello, but I thought, no, it's like talking to the enemy. I'm not going to do it. Hey, I just got a text message on the MyPillow text line. Are you in the middle of a fundraiser right now?
Nope. You want to give me one?
Oh, I thought you were. I misunderstood the text. Okay. Somebody had a great idea for a fundraiser. Next time you or I have a fundraiser, which we often do on our shows.
Yes.
Great idea to donate to one of your charities a chance to have dinner with Mike and Mark. That's a pretty cool idea.
That's very cool.
I'll take that idea.
Now, anyone doing that must know that they will enjoy the spectacle, but they will not, repeat not, get a word in edgewise.
Oh, are you kidding me? Trust me. Welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. Believe me.
That's right.
I know the feeling. So, even with just
two of us, you can't get into it. Throw in another donors, human being, maybe a wife, some kids.
So the donors and I can just look at each other sympathetically and let you go on.
I'm the problem. All right, man.
All right, I'm out. Tampa Airport opened just for me. So they opened it. They're going to open in 1 hour, one hour from now.
Yeah.
And I'm back. I'm out of New York. I mean, and I can't wait. A tragedy. I hate to end this on a bad note. Have you heard about the FDNY lieutenant, the EMT lieutenant, stabbed to death in a random attack? This poor woman, Lieutenant Allison Russo Elling, a 61-year-old EMT lieutenant,
yep.
one of New York's bravest, just going to get some food in the middle of the afternoon. A random man ran up, stabbed her multiple times. She was 8 months from retirement, Mark. And now this beautiful woman murdered in the streets of New York. It's these random attacks, Mark. These aren't robberies. And these are happening.
Just for the sake of every day.
I was here, something like this. There was a story about it. I was here a week to avoid Ian.
Yep.
Every day there was somebody who was being just pummeled, stabbed, pushed to the ground. 81-year-old woman 2 days ago, Upper West Side, just knocked to the ground. And they're making arrests. They get the people every time. Something is happening in America.
It is, man. An erosion of all norms. And so let's lift up a prayer for her. Lift up a prayer for Florida, where you will return. Can't wait for your stories from the weekend on Monday. And, of course, in the Atlantic states that may face the reconstituted Category 1 Hurricane Ian. God bless, Mike. We'll be listening.
See you Monday from Florida.
That's
thanks,
it.
Mark.
He is there for you today at 10 when we wrap up on 660 AM. The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.